Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock to learn more. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with the right parts, advice from our parts professionals, and our free loaner tool program. Your local store has more than 80 specialty tools available for your next repair. Refundable deposit required. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and ask about our free loaner tool program or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's so on. The SiriusXM Listen Free event is happening now. Just press the sat button in your car to hear over 100 channels, including ad-free music of every kind, plus sports play-by-play and talk and news for everyone. Enjoy even more free when you download the SXM app. Hear expertly curated podcasts, ad-free extra channels of music for any mood, SiriusXM video, and the ability to create your own Pandora music stations. Don't miss out. Listen free now.
G-Sean, Jay Will, and Zubin.
Aaron Rodgers may be right, but to go and get rid of a guy who's a general manager to bring Aaron Rodgers back to make him happy, now Aaron Rodgers is put in a position where everybody's looking at him funny, side-eye, what if it doesn't work? Now Aaron Rodgers, you're the bad guy. The best thing for me, I'm trying to get the most value I could possibly get for Aaron Rodgers, and I've now got to just move on.
G-Sean, Jay Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hour number two, off and running. Nate Osborne, he's the head coach of the New Orleans Gold. Atlanta. Doesn't matter who they are, which sport or whatever. Atlanta, whatever they are, they're coming into the gold mine on Saturday to take on your gold. Revenge is a dish needs to be served over in Metairie because they faced each other once already this season. New Orleans lost. So we'll see how coach feels his team is doing coming off of a bye week, which will be interesting here as well. So we'll touch on that. John Forcade's going to join us at 1:45. Why the brigade? Easy. The USFL is coming back. I'm serious. The USFL is relaunching its spring 2022 with at least 8 teams. So the release sent out this morning is, think about this, 4 decades it's been. You might notice some of these guys, too. I mean, it was like a legit league, right? Reggie White, Herschel Walker, Steve Young, Jim Kelly. Even Donald Trump owned a team back then. And New Orleans had one. Remember? The New Orleans Breakers. I remember clear as deck. I mean, A-Bear played. I mean, so many NFL players played in the USFL. Now, they did say, although the teams, cities, head coaches, schedules, not going to be announced until later, they do retain the rights to key original team names. The USFL is also using the same red, white, and blue stars and stripes logo it did from 1983 to 1985. And this is interesting because you remember the XFL had a short stint, then COVID hit, then Vince McMahon sold it. Bankruptcy or whatever it is that caused that. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, he and Danny Garcia bought it. They've been targeting a 2022 resumption of play, but that's been on hold since March because of not interest or anything, but they're actually in talks with the Canadian Football League to sort of have some sort of collaboration with them. I that'll be interesting. Is it a minor league system for them? Is it where they come into the fall with the CFL and the CFL has games in the States? I don't know. It'll be interesting to sort of see that. Fox Sports is going to be the broadcast partner for the new USFL. They have a minority equity stake in the company that owns the new USFL. The co-founder of the new USFL and CEO of the Spring League, says that, look, you're going to see passionate football, and that's the goal. Look forward to providing players a new opportunity to compete in a professional football league. Give fans everywhere the best football viewing product possible during what is typically a period of devoid of professional football. The Fox CEO and executive producer Eric Shanks called the USFL's relaunch, quote, a landmark day for football fans and Fox Sports. So, I'm excited to just kind of see what that's going to be. But again, literally here in New Orleans, you had one of those teams. I remember having one of those pennants in my, you know, room as a kid, the USFL, the New Orleans Breakers. I love the logo. I love everything about it. So, I don't know. I'd love to hear from you. If you remember, you know, going to those games, or if you remember anything about the New Orleans Breakers, would you want to see a spring league team here again? I don't know. And they haven't announced who's the cities that are going to be in it, but the plan is to have a minimum of 8 teams. Would you want New Orleans, with all of the talent rich, you know, state players that this state has? Could you imagine? I mean, would you want to see a spring team here in New Orleans again, like you had with the New Orleans Breakers? I think you could support it, don't you? In the spring, I think it would get some attention for sure. But, you know, where would they play? Would they play over at the Gold Mine? Would they play at Gormley? I don't know. It would happen. I'm just tossing that out there for you guys that actually went. Because I know there's a lot of y'all that remember that. And then if you're like Jordan and M, you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's why there was Google. Type in New Orleans Breakers and you will know exactly what we're talking about. So that's why John's coming on at 1:45 to kind of touch on that here as well. Carlos Medina, 205, is going to join us. The Julio Jones thing, it's very, very interesting. It really does look like no matter what, he's gone next week. Arthur Smith spoke yesterday at the OTAs, and he was asked about him. He's, you know, he went through a kind of spiel on, you know, we talk with all our players and have open dialogue and communication. Then he kind of ended by saying, well, we'll see where we are next week. So he's likely going to be traded to the point where literally ESPN this morning on Get Up and all of those shows, they were saying, Mike Greenberg saying at any minute, any second, Julio Jones could be traded. So you put two and two together. Kimberly Martin from ESPN had this to say about what the value perhaps could be on Julio Jones.
Well, that was the thing. The fact that they even wanted a one. When I talked to GMs and execs, they were like, they're not getting, definitely not getting a 2022 first rounder for Julio. As great of a player as he is, and as much as he would make any offense better, people are in the league. I had one GM tell me the other day, I would give up a third. Because the three factors, age, salary, and his injury history. Other teams understand that Julio's a guy who's gonna get every dime that he's owed, and I don't begrudge him that. But it's not like he's gonna come in and just say, oh yeah, pay me less. If anything, it's, hey, you can extend me and pay me more, but he's gonna get the 15 plus that he's owed.
Hmm. So again, it's one of those things, injury history, 32 years old, and lots of dollar signs. How many teams are willing to do that? And again, it's timing is an interesting thing in terms of, remember COVID. I mean, the salary cap was shortened. Yes, the word came out earlier last month that it's going to go up next year. But this year, teams are operating differently. I mean, you saw the move the Saints had to make. So, I don't know. I just don't know how many teams are going to be able to do it. And where is he going to go? It looks like Tennessee is a team that's been talked about. You've seen Seattle being touched on a lot about this as well. So we'll see what takes place. Yesterday, two big basketball news stories hit, as we mentioned, on the top of the show and most of the show yesterday. First off, over in Boston, Danny Ainge stepping aside, retiring as president of basketball operations, Brad Stevens moving up. We heard from those two gentlemen, but who's the next head coach? And Jay Williams brought up something very interesting this morning. When the Pelicans were looking for a head coach, you saw a lot of people kind of mention this to Mickey Hammond, the assistant for San Antonio. And there were a lot of fans saying, you know, Fletcher Mackel was one of those guys here locally, was, you know, pounding that drum and saying, hey, look, hire the first full-time NBA head coach that's a female. Jay Williams says, look, it's right there in front of you, as well as to who should be the next Celtics head coach, and it's not a guy.
Kara Lawson, who worked with the team. She's on the coaching staff. Duke basketball now, mm-hmm. coaching the 3-on-3 World Championship in the Olympics. I've heard every player rave about her. It could be a great opportunity for everything that Boston has gone through. You know, and let's bring it up. Even with the way, and I understand Danny can only speak from his experiences, but understanding that, hey, there were some issues racially that were happening in Boston, right? The history of that. Like, what a statement would it be for the Boston Celtics to hire the first women head coach of the NBA? And then also to add to that, she's qualified now, but a woman of color to be the first head coach of the Boston Celtics, what a grand statement that would be. And I'm telling you right now, you find me a player on the Boston Celtics roster that would say, I don't want Kara Lawson to be our coach. I would be shocked.
So we'll keep an eye on that and see what happens. The other story, obviously, was Coach K deciding to retire at the end of the upcoming season. The new head coach already has been selected in John Shire. Jay Will, again, a dookie on that move.
I love John Shire.
He's been the coach in waiting.
He's coach in waiting. Right. And I'm extremely happy for John Shire. I just wasn't expecting it to be John. But I've also called John, you know, a young Brad Stevens. I've been calling him that since he's got into the coaching ranks because he's a savant. Like, he's kind of low-key kept. He's a genius, man.
Now, Coach K, he had his retirement press conference a little bit ago. A lot of people saying it was a little awkward as the music that was being played when he got on stage. But this is why he's retiring.
This is not about health. Mickey and I, whether we look like she does, whether I look healthy, I am. It's not about COVID or saying, boy, that year was so bad. I don't want, it's not about that. It's certainly not about what's going on with college basketball where, boy, the game's changing. All right. I've been in it for 46 years. You mean the game's never changed? You know, in the progression of the game, we have always had to adapt to the changes in culture, the changes in rules, the changes in the world. We're going through one right now. That's not the reason. Those aren't the reasons. Those would be bad reasons, especially the health one. The reason we're doing this is because Mickey and I have decided the journey's going to be over in a year. And we're going to go after it as hard as we possibly can. And then we'll be a part of Duke's continuing journey, like President Price said, for as long as we're around. For as long as we're around.
So there you go. His reasons behind it as to why he's going to go in that direction. And I thought Seth Greenberg brought up a very interesting point here as well with the new incoming coach. I mean, imagine who's following Nick Saban once he finally decides to leave out Alabama. Good luck, right? I mean, it just, you build sort of a system, you build a recruiting pathway, pipeline. It's going to be hard to kind of do. Now, that said, John's the guy that, you know, Jason Tatum, Zion Williamson was the lead recruiter. That's what Seth Greenberg of ESPN had to say.
When you think about Duke, you think about Coach K. Now, all of a sudden, those assistant coaches are selling Duke and John Shire. And I love John. I think he's fiercely competitive. I think he's extremely bright. I think that he works at the game. But when you're going into a living room, when you're having a kid come on campus and you do not have Coach K to sell, it's a different Duke. That's just the reality of it all. He's not the Olympic coach, John Shire. He isn't the guy whose jersey is hanging in the banner in the ceiling with 1,000 wins. So I think there's going to be a period of time where there's going to be adjustment.
For sure. Quick break. We come back. The head coach of your NOLA Gold. We'll talk to him. It's the Sports Hangover right here on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
shrimp boats is a-coming.
Since 1948, that's 73 years, Alario Brothers has been in the commercial fishing and shrimping supply business, stocking large selections of 12-volt electrical and hydraulic single and double drum winches and hydraulic motors with brakes, beltless clutches, and pumps with brackets. They also carry hydraulic stainless steel skimmer winches, hydraulic valves, and hydraulic steering for up to 65-foot boats. Also a huge assortment of crab traps and crab trap wire, stocking nylon, plastic, and knotless webbing. You heard about that new webbing, Platina Knotless Dyneema. Alario Brothers also stocks shark tail netting that's reinforced with stainless steel wire. They stock four different sizes of galvanized stabilizers, also stocking a large variety of fiberglass cloth, including resin gel coat and other supplies needed for fiberglassing. Lost an anchor? Alario Brothers stocks anchors from 5 pounds to 100 pounds. Visit Alario Brothers before the season begins. That's Alario Brothers, 894 Avenue A, West Wego, online at alariobros.com.
Shrimp boats is a coming.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Hey New Orleans, this is Nate Osborne, head coach of the NOLA Gold, your Major League Rugby team.
Hey New Orleans, it's Carl Mayer of your NOLA Gold rugby team. The 2021 Major League Rugby season is here.
In the Shrine on Airline, now called the Gold Mine.
The Gold Mine is COVID conscious, so you can spread out around the stadium to enjoy the hard-hitting, non-stop action of Major League Rugby, filled with world-class players.
And mate, the best part is that our season tickets are about the same price as one game in other pro sports. Check us out at nolagoldrugby.com or just call 50 Rugby.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Coach probably out on the training pitch. We'll get a hold of him here quickly and a little bit to talk about the upcoming matchup standings and such as well, as the goal will take on Atlanta. There's the phone ringing there, so it should be likely him here. Coming up next hour, Carlos Medina again. Julio Jones, where is he going? And also Trey Young. I loved yesterday the Hawks closed out the Knicks. We'll get into that here in a little bit. Coming up at the bottom of the hours, we'll recap the NBA and the playoffs and hear from some of the guys that really stood out yesterday. But, Coach, I gave you the excuse. First off, thank you for joining us as you do on Thursdays. You didn't answer the phone because you're probably busy going over that dreaded Atlanta first game film. How are you today?
I am good, mate, and I am actually doing that. I'm sitting in my office. I was just having a conversation with one of our assistant coaches, and I saw my phone buzzing on my desk, and I didn't get it in time. But happy to talk to you, mate, after a win always and a bye week, and feeling good right now.
So we talked last weekend. You got some time to get away a little bit with your family and stuff, and you thought at the time you probably approached that bye week differently than a week ago how you probably wanted to, right? I mean, you were coming off of a game where basically everyone got nicked up. You had a lot of injuries, and you thought it would be best, everybody, just go get away for a little bit. We'll see you in a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it was a good thing. I think you know, just the energy coming back in this week, and the guys feeling fresh and, you know, mentally recharged, because it's going to be a mental battle against these guys this week. So, you know, I'm happy that we had an opportunity to take a bit of time away and everyone, you know, enjoyed themselves. And now we're back in the grind and ready to get out and bash these boys this week.
How healthy are you?
We're pretty good. I mean, we've got the usual, you know, mid-season nicks and bangs, but we're actually fairly healthy. I mean, we lost a lot of people early in the season, but it seems to have kind of trickled off to, we're just got kind of banged up. No big ones. So that's a good sign, a good thing.
Coach, you look at this for a handful of different reasons as to why this game is so important on Saturday. Not just revenge and all that, but it's the last home game of the year. Now, I know it's not very, you know, it's unique that I would think that the remaining games that you have are all going to be on the road.
Yeah.
And what, six remaining games after this one will all be on the road. Does it even make it even more important for you to take care of, you know, home turf here?
Mate, I think it's huge. I think this is the game that kind of defines our season. I mean, a win here and we, you know, are back on top. A loss and, you know, we're looking up at Atlanta and New York who are slowly getting away from us. And I think, you know, it's hard to say must win with seven games to go, but I truly believe it's must win. We have to win this week. If we don't win this week, then, you know, we're going to really struggle. I think, that playoff pitch is going to get further and further away. But we have the opportunity to control our own destiny, you know, and that's a massive thing. We don't have to rely on people winning or losing. If we win this week, we just keep winning and we're in the playoffs. If we don't and we have to rely on other people, then, you know, that's something that we'll have to do. But I don't want to be at the end of the season sitting and watching a team play and, you know, and hoping that one team beats another team. You know, that's, to me, we have the opportunity to, you know, do a job and let's do a job.
I guess you can sort of split the season in half when you think of pre-buy and post-buy. So let's just kind of look at like that. Into the buy, Coach, what was something that you liked about your team and what's something that you really want this team to improve on in the final seven?
Mate, I thought early on we struggled with consistency, like we talked about. You know, later on towards the bye, we kind of found that consistency more. We had a couple of games where we won a couple in a row, and then, you know, the San Diego thing, I'll just call it a thing, just kind of went off the rails a little bit, and we didn't aim up there. But one of the things that I'm super proud of these guys about is, you know, no matter how many injuries we have, no matter how many, you know, little things come up, whatever's going on, they always seem to be ready, and the next guy's always ready. And, you know, we're very hard to beat at home, and I think we've only really lost the one game at home, and that was in the last play of the game, you know, where I thought we had that game won as well. And also, you know, I just feel like we're a team that strives on being the underdog, and I think for the first time ever, we're going to play Atlanta and they're going to be the favorites. And we love that. We love that feeling of like proving people wrong.
So I was joking, speaking with head coach Nate Osborne of the NOLA Go, but you really are watching and talking about that first meeting. Are you surprised by how that game went?
Yeah, mate. It was like two mistakes. It was what cost us that game. And it's kind of crazy to think about, but they started really fast. I think it was like 17-0 after 13 minutes, and which is, you know, rare for us. And we kind of looked a little shell shocked. They came out and, you know, really, really stunned us, I guess. And then we fought back at the 60-minute mark. We actually were leading 28-23, so we'd fought all the way back, and you know, really had the game in hand. If we could just, you know, do the little things right. And, you know, we made a couple of really, you know, critical errors late in that, which allowed them to get a couple of tries and, you know, and win the game. The thing about Atlanta is you watch them from week one until now, they play the exact same way for 80 minutes. They're just a very consistent team, and that's what I've been trying to get out of our guys, is that consistency, because I think the league as a whole lacks consistency. Like, LA will win by 60 points one week and the next week lose, and you know, we're the same. And you know, I said the most consistent team will, you know, win, and they've kind of proved it right now. They're the most consistent team and they're sitting on top, but they're very, very beatable. And I'm super excited about this weekend. I haven't actually been this excited to for a game as a player or a coach. I just feel like this is the one that I think that we put it all together and we end our homestand and we, you know, put ourselves back on top and we really control our destiny and, you know, and enjoy those last 6 weeks on the road and, you know, get that playoff berth that we, you know, we're searching for.
All right, Coach, final thing for you, I guess, is, you know, we touched on it the last time that we spoke and the last time you were on the field, and that was a night game. You love the atmosphere. You love the electricity. Yeah. The fans really brought it. This is it. Awesome. This is the final game that is going to be at the Gold Mine. So you got a message for the Gold fans?
Come out and support us. Obviously, it's the most fun you'll have. I can't believe how much the atmosphere in that place and the bands and everything going on. And it was kind of funny before the game. I was talking to a couple of the new players that are just here this year, first year here with us, and on the field, and they were looking around. They're like, why don't we do this every week? And I'm like, well, this is what it usually is, but with COVID and everything that's been on, it's been a little different. So it finally felt back to, you know, that fun New Orleans, everybody having fun, everyone having a good time, tailgating and singing and dancing, and they put on a display, and the boys fed off the energy. So the more people we have here, the more people cheering, the more people having fun, the better we play. And, you know, I'd love to pack the stands, and I think no one's ever going to regret coming and watching an Ola Gold game. I think everybody who comes really enjoys it and loves it. And I think you get a different feel at the stadium compared to even watching it on TV. If you watch it on TV and you think that looks like a fun game, come to the game at the stadium because it'll blow your mind on how much fun it is and how fast it is and how big these guys are.
Well, you know what's fun is when you actually win and then you're all happy, in a good mood. So
absolutely. I love to win.
I don't know how to – I mean, I'm just going to come out and say you have to win Saturday. It's Atlanta.
Absolutely.
I mean, you understand that, though. There's an extra sense here. I know you were in playoffs and all that. Those fans know you're going to see ATL on there, and there's a certain need, okay?
Yeah, mate, I know. And I actually, at the start of the year, when people ask me, like, so who's your rival? Who's your team? And everyone always says Atlanta. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't mind those blokes. They're all right. But, you know, obviously want to beat them. And the other day, Morgan, our marketing girl, said, can you send me a little thing? And I'm like, yeah, I hate every team in this league, but I hate Atlanta the most. I hate everything about them. And she's like, really? I go, I actually do now. I'm in ball with you boys. You're my rival. Let's get them.
All right. I love to hear that. All right. 7 o'clock, Atlanta. Nola Gold, Goldmine on Airline. Looking forward to it, Coach. We'll talk again next Thursday.
Thanks, Mike.
Head Coach Nate Osborne of your Nola Gold. Yeah, should be fun. And again, you've got to be able to take care of your rivals, right? But again, big game, obviously, in the standings and something to be able to help them here as well. Last night in the NBA, got a couple of games that closed out series. Could one end tonight in particular? I'm not saying that I'm rooting or not. Who am I kidding? Of course I'm rooting. Lakers, Suns. Let's go. Let's go, Phoenix. Travis, a member of the LeBron James, kingdom, is calling to let us know that, of course, we will see the greatest performance in playoff history today. What he has to say, we'll give him, I don't know, 90 seconds, minute 20, something like that. And then we'll go over the games last night here as well. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. 500 miles an hour.
Join us for our Memorial Day sales event going on now until June 1st at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Get a great deal on a Ram truck today. See all their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But E-Tail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing E-Tail Business can do for you, and that's connecting you to work every day. E-Tail is on for business.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames, to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
It's so on. The Sirius XM Listen free event is happening now. Just press the sat button in your car to hear over 100 channels, including ad-free music of every kind, plus sports play-by-play and talk and news for everyone. Enjoy even more free when you download the SXM app. Hear expertly curated podcasts, ad-free extra channels of music for any mood, Sirius XM video, and the ability to create your own Pandora music stations. Don't miss out. Listen free now.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
It's literally win or go home at that point. So, you know, you shoot all the bullets you got and throw the gun too. So, you know, I look forward to the environment. Obviously, our Laker faithful going to give us a lot of energy. And I look forward to the moment. I look forward to the challenge and, see what brings out the best of me and my teammates.
Wow. So we can expect them to what? Travis, how does that apply as we bring in Travis, a member of the LeBron James kingdom here? I mean, throwing guns, like, I guess he would like throw chairs, throw jerseys, warm-ups, banana peels to Suns players in case the game's not going their way. I'm just saying, he's saying he's going to empty all the chambers out and then even throw the gun. So if they're losing, and that would, I guess, mean that he's emptying all the chambers, is a chair, banana peel, a sweat, pair of the sweatpants. What's happening tonight?
Okay, first of all, Gus, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Travis? It's a big night, Travis, for the people of Phoenix and New Orleans.
I am doing my best not to talk too loud, Gus, or yell, because clearly my yelling or talking loud can break Anthony Davis's eardrum. Everything else breaks on this particular guy. Like, I have no idea what's wrong with that. What a headache. Like listening to him, Gus, listening to this guy, or just rather watching him play, I just want to wrap him in bubble wrap and the little peanuts that you pack with, the packing peanuts, mm-hmm. and just have him play like that. Like, this is ridiculous. It's such an easy, the West, for once you can look at the West and say, we talked about this too, Gus. You know, I text you, I was like, for once you look at the West and the West looks easy. I mean, you got the Mavs out here, you got Luka up here telling Patrick Beverly, get the bleep off of me. I mean, you're a little boy. And I'm out here playing big boy basketball, you know. Then you got the Nuggets who are clearly hurt and struggling to do anything against Dame. And, you know, that series is what it is. You had Memphis win a game and almost win two games versus Utah. So all you got to do is get past the Suns and you just keep going. And it's like, Anthony Davis can't stay healthy. It's almost like he's done this before.
I don't know what you're talking about there, buddy.
he's done all of this in New Orleans. It's like this is a repeat machine. Like it is what it is. I mean, we had a bad game. I mean, I looked up a stat, and one of the stats that I saw was LeBron James is the first player to ever had. This is the first time he's ever had two his starting guards, both guards, go pointless in a game. His starting guards went completely pointless in a game. I mean, yeah, you're gonna lose. You're gonna get blown out by games like that.
Yeah, it's called the Pelican season. We're well aware, Travis, of what happens when your backcourt doesn't provide anything. Well aware of that happens.
Sounds familiar, look, you know, right?
But here's the thing. I was watching today, and Jalen Rose was saying it on Get Up too, and you know he thinks, look, you're gonna see 30 points from LeBron, 14 assists. Schroeder's gonna go for 20. The role players always play better at home. As much as I would love for the series to end and never have to hear from this guy again, at least until next season, I'm seeing a game seven, man. I think AD will go play, and I think LeBron will do it. I think they're, I mean, I'm with you today. I'd like to see the Suns win. I think the Lakers win.
Lakers play better at home. That is, you know, that much we all know. I do think it goes to game seven. And I do think, you know, maybe LeBron scores maybe 35. He has 12 assists, like everybody's saying. But it's like the we always talk about it. The supporting cast, the cast is better. Like, I don't think I've ever – let me remind everyone out there. Shooter Turner, Dennis turned down $80 million this offseason. For
maybe,
what?
Maybe he shouldn't after scoring 0 points in the playoffs.
Zero. He gave Gus, me, you, Jordan, and anybody else you line up, we went out there and we scored as many points sitting in our house as Shooter did in the game. That's insane. But yeah, I do see them pulling it off tonight. LeBron does and will go out there and have a really good game. My concern is always going to be, What is Mr. Glass doing? Like, can you get right, sir? Because okay, well, we can't win this.
Hold on. You just asked Mr. Glass how he's doing, and since I am, you know, I'm your host, and my job is to make sure that you know, I did contact him, and just now he did get back to me. This is him trying to get ready for Game Six.
It's tough, you know, especially last night, you know, watching the game and you know not being able to help the team on the floor. It's the toughest part, knowing that I couldn't contribute. My body just wouldn't allow me to. Like I said, as far as tomorrow, I obviously want to. I'm still waiting to get medically cleared, you know, with the groin. Like I said, I'm doing everything, you know, treatments around the clock, and you know, it's just with me all the time, you know, with the treatment and the exercises and the rehab stuff to see, everything is green for me to go on the court tomorrow.
Travis, I got to get to Cajun Goat here in a minute or so, but Screamin' A,
do you know what
they play this,
so
hear me out,
about
they played this morning and Screamin' A went nuts. He said that people are telling him that they're looking at AD a certain way, with eyebrows raised, pun intended, he said, in that phrase, in that bite, I don't know if you caught it, waiting to be medically cleared to play. And he went on a tirade at high-pitched volumes and squeals of saying, it's game six, your brother LeBron's out there trying to not be eliminated in the first round, you're defending champs, and you're waiting for somebody to clear you to play? You need to play. And when he said it like that, it sticked out to me. Like, you could just hear it in his voice. That guy doesn't feel like he's healthy. Like, he doesn't seem like, I'm playing. Like, Donovan Mitchell's like, I'm playing. You know, like, and I, look, I get it, man. Yeah. A groin, I've actually strained it, pulled it, whatever it was, playing City Park softball, and that ended my career. I'm done.
When I started doing that, rounding second base,
and I'm being honest, like, that bleep hurts. And, like, you can't.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so I know it's easy to say, well, go walk it off. You can't. There is no walking it off. And trying to do anything lateral.
No, there is no walking it out.
No. Yes. It just, and it, I mean,
there's no
when it pulls,
no coughing, no
it
laughing.
Yanks. And when it pulls, it yanks, it takes your breath away. I mean, I don't know how else to describe
it.
Yes,
it does.
I don't know how you play with a pulled groin, you know?
So my thing is, Gus, and I don't mean to talk about this from the standpoint of, like, going beyond this, but I'm going to take this to football, and then I'm going to bring it back to basketball. James, we talk about James Harrison for like a couple of years of how much money he spends on his body, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he spends, what, over $1 million? We know for a fact, you know, you say LeBron uses HGH. That HGH must cost $1 million on his body because that's how much he spends on his body. AD, what are you spending on your body? What are you doing with your body, sir?
Once again, Screaming A today. Screaming A said the people that are talking to him behind the scenes, that's now the talk apparently in LA, that this guy is injury prone towards the end of the year and things that nature is happening. And they're wondering, like, what are you not doing during the regular season on the off season to make sure that your body's as healthy as it can be? So it's starting to be raised, the question of, is he putting in enough work in the off season and during the regular season to stay healthy? And I tell you what, if that is coming from teammates and stuff, guess what? He ain't going to be in L.A. much longer than if that's going to happen. Because he ain't going to like what we have to hear.
Here's the thing, Gus, and let's honestly think about this, right? We've watched Kevin Durant try to come back off of Achilles injury, and unfortunately he tore it in the game he tried to come back. Mm-hmm. We've also watched Kawhi Leonard, who clearly is not right, still hasn't been right since he's played the Warriors, and the guy undercuts him, and he hurts his ankle. He has not been right since then. And yet that guy's out there, and you can tell he's spending money doing everything he can on his body to try to make things work. Right. Again, Anthony Davis, you've been hurt 4 years in a row. 4 years in a row. Your career has been your regular season has been shortened by some means of injury. Sir, what are you doing?
Travis,
you can't spend money on your body?
Travis, I gotta get to Cajun Goat, but for you.
I know.
After the street clothes Davis, because he's always in street clothes.
Yeah.
That's
a shame.
Yeah. That's a shame. Cajun Goat's going to have something for me, and he's going to have something for Anthony Davis and the Lakers and LeBron.
Zach Lowe's got something for you as well.
They played like a team that was discouraged, that knew it was a long shot to win without Anthony Davis, knew they had game six at home, and thought, well, we can get that one and maybe come here and win game seven. It was a horrible effort. It was a layup line. They got no defense from anybody. The role players, most of them all failed. Dennis
it was
awful.
Layup.
And LeBron, the criticism is right. I thought LeBron would have to come out and dominate the game, run pick and roll after pick and roll after pick and roll. Dennis Schroeder ran as many pick and rolls as LeBron, basically. LeBron would get switches, Devin Booker, friendly matchups, and just sort of pass off. And yeah, sometimes it was the right play, but the Lakers didn't need LeBron in make the right play mode. The Lakers needed LeBron in let me get 35, 15, and 10. And look.
He took the night off, bro. It is what it is. Just admit it, Travis. He took the night off. It's all about drama for him.
He didn't take the night.
No,
listen,
like a two-part season finale. You know, like when a TV series has a two-part season finale, he wanted to make sure, because it's more tension in L.A. in front of his fans. Yes, and all the stars there, he can high-five. And after he dunks with, you know, the rest of the quarter to play, he's going to point to his head and then flex his muscles.
Here
and they're up 2-0. Congratulations.
Here you go.
I got to get to Cajun Goat. He's been holding on for 13 minutes.
I know you have to get to Cajun Goat, but you keep egging me on. I don't know why you keep doing this. Listen, I understand everything you're saying, but you know what is really not talked about enough?
Okay.
Yeah, Devin Booker needs to be talked about more this year. He really does. He really deserves a lot more credit than everybody's giving.
One more time for you.
I call him Anthony Street Clothes Davis because he's always in street clothes.
Travis, I'll enjoy texting you tonight. See you later, buddy.
I'll call UPS and get the bubble wrap ready. Yeah,
there it is. Travis, member of the LeBron James kingdom. The Cajun Go, thank you for being patient, though, but you know how it is when Travis is on. There's a lot of explaining to do when you're a member of the kingdom when you don't win, and there's a lot of, you know, celebrating to do when a member of the kingdom wins. So that's how it works.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, Anthony Street Clothes Davis, you know, that's who he is. He's been that since he's been here. That's all, folks. You know, my thing, Gus, is I still believe that the Mavericks are the best team in the West right now. Mm. And I only say that, man, that was such a great game to watch last night. And I think the only reason they lost the two was because, you know, Luka's injury. I think Luka looked like he felt good last night. You could tell just the way he was playing.
Right.
The way he came out and he was aggressive. So I'm kind of all on Dallas, maybe taking that Western Conference.
I want to play something for you, and I'll let you finish. But I want to play something that you just brought up. Max Kellerman, and I'm saving the bite right now, had this to say about Luka. Because it's interesting you say about the Mavericks being the team right now in the West and stuff. You know, again, I think if the Jazz look good and they're healthy, you can do that. But here's what Kellerman had to say that's along the lines of what you're getting at with Luka Doncic.
I don't mean like, who would you start a franchise with? Because sometimes you might start a franchise with a guy like Kobe Bryant when he was a teenager, who's going to be 2 to 3 years away from being an all-star even, let alone already one of the best players in the game. I don't mean who you start a franchise with. I mean, who has the most value? Like, who has the most trade value? Not just their age, but the level at which they're already competing. Like, how close do you think they can get you to a championship? And their age, right? Luka is by so far number one in the NBA. Is there a number two?
It's interesting that he said that, because I was thinking about it when I heard him say it. I'm like, who would get the more value, I guess, in return back if you were available in the trade? Like, is it Zion? Is it Luka? Is it Ja? Is it Donovan Mitchell? Is it Damian? Is it Luka? Like, he makes a very good point here. Like, that guy on pretty much any other team with some stars, good luck, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think they surrounded him. A lot of people are kind of going after the lineup that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, Hardaway's been having a pretty decent year. And, man, when that guy's on, it makes a hell of a difference on that team. But they also got big guys. They can go big lineup, small lineup. They do a little bit of everything. I mean, they have the role players that kind of fit, you know, fit him right now. But, I mean, if he had better players, would it be a better team? Oh, yeah, I think so. But to say that that team wouldn't be is not right now maybe competing at a chance, able to get to a champion. I don't know if they can win it, but I think they can get to it. Because mm-hmm. Who on the other teams are going to stop Luka? I mean, I think he's going against one of the better defensive teams or guys that can match up with him. But when you look at the other three teams that's going to be in it, who's going to match up with him? Even if the Lakers, just say so the Lakers went through, do you really think the Lakers are going to outshoot the Mavericks? The Lakers can't even hardly outshoot themselves right now. So, you know, that's the point. When we talked about the Pelicans, we always talking about we need shooters. Man, Dallas has shooters all around the floor. So that's why I like Dallas so much, you know, right. In the West. In the West. I don't know if they could beat a Brooklyn. I think they could beat a Brooklyn, but I don't know if they could beat, like, a Milwaukee. Because Milwaukee does play defense, you know. A lot of these teams are not playing great defense, just like the Jazz. How does the Jazz lose to the Grizzlies? The Grizzlies are not really a great shoot team. How do you even lose one of those games out of those four? Or two of those games out of those four, even the game that one of the games Donovan Mitchell. How do you even lose those games, Gus, unless you're not playing defense?
you know. So I think they just kind of match up. They match up with all these guys very well. But as far as the Lakers and Anthony Davis, this was my biggest question to you. Do you think that he likes the big limelight now? AD likes the big limelight he's getting now, that it's all his junk is out in the news now, like not putting forth the effort to put his body in shape?
That's why I brought that up specifically with Travis. When you start having your screaming A's of the world and everybody start throwing out that sort of laundry out there, it better be true. If it's not true, that's how locker rooms start to get divided. That is for sure. Because if he feels that he is doing everything, and let's be honest, I said last year, that guy should have won the finals MVP. I mean, it's like,
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know.
But that's a half a season. That's a half a trophy. That's not a full trophy.
Yeah.
But not only that, Gus, this is my big question, though. And you can go, I'm going to get off the phone. But LeBron James, did he look after that last game like he was a little sick of Anthony Davis? And I'll let you go from there.
I think he was sick of everybody else but Anthony Davis, and knows he needs Anthony Davis, at least for right now. I don't think that relationship is fractured, right? John 4K next, the USFL, the New Orleans Breakers. We used to have a team here in New Orleans. Would you like to see it happen again? The league is coming back next year. We'll talk to John 4K next on ESPN New Orleans.
Well, I'm Big Bang. I am the chief. I got a lot of that, but I'll be brief.
It's time to have fun, so come on in. Come on in and win. It's magic.
Cash magic.
Come and feel the magic.
Cash magic.
Where winners play every night and day. Cash magic.
Video poker players know there's a difference at Cash Magic, a big difference. At your local Cash Magic casino, you'll have fun playing the newest games while enjoying our fast and friendly VIP service.
Cash Magic is my lucky place. They really do make you feel like a VIP.
It's time to have fun, so let us make you feel right at home with our fast and friendly VIP service. Come feel the magic today at one of our 9 Cash Magic casinos in Southeast Louisiana, including our 2 newest locations, Cash Magic Galliano and the Royal Flush in Houma. Louisiana's favorite place to play video poker. Cash Magic.
You'll always be a VIP. Cash Magic.
Must be 21 or older. Valid ID required. Gambling problem? 877-770-STOP.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary 2-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma.
Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
Carlos Medina. We'll talk Julio Jones, Trey Young up in Atlanta. Top of next hour, Tim Grubbs, a little Major League Baseball 215, Leo Haggerty 230. Right now, though, Mr. John 4K, a legit, honest-to-goodness, living member of the USFL. Sir, after 4 decades, the USFL is back. How's that arm feel? You want to go try out or what?
Oh, man, yeah, I just saw that. I heard a little bit about it this morning, but, yeah, I'll give it a shot. I mean, what the hell? If Tim Tebow can come out of not playing after 8 or 9 years, maybe I can do it after 30 years. We'll see what happens.
Dude, I said it at the start of the show. I remember vividly, you know, I think it was in Kenner, right? The practice facility. I had the pennant, the New Orleans Breakers, man. I remember the logo and everything, man. When you just hear the words USFL, I mean, you played it. And so many NFL players, right? Jim Kelly, Reggie White, I mean, Hebert, a lot of these guys played in the USFL. Just kind of go back to that and just start with when you heard it's coming back, man. Did it bring back fond memories?
Look, that league was a good league. They had some quality players. We all know the quality players that you just named. There's a lot more. And, you know, I played with Reggie White in Memphis. I'll say this. For whatever reason, Gus, I have no idea. I mean, people want to blame Trump. You know, he's going to buy it and make it compete against the NFL. It was what it was. But I remember good crowds, you know, 30s and 40,000s and, you know, Spring Football League, the players, the coaches. Just, it was worth it. It was every bit worth the Spring Football League. Let them do their deal. Then you got the Fall Football League with the NFL. They really were not going to compete against each other. But for whatever reasons, it just didn't hold over because of whatever. But they need to have it. And let's be honest, I can watch football 24/7. I'm sure you could. So let's get it done right. Fox Sports is going to back this. I'm sure they got other people. I know the guy, Brian Woods, is the CEO of it. He went to Ole Miss, among other places he's been. But look, I would love to see the Spring Football League give other players an opportunity to play professional football.
Joseph Cannizzaro, back in the day, purchased the Boston Breakers for a reported $8 million in 1983. Decided to move the team to the New Orleans area, play its games in the Dome for the 84 season. John, I asked this, and we'll kind of get into what the USFL did and mean for a lot of those players, but start the obvious here. They're saying they want at least minimum of eight. They still have the rights to a lot of those different things. Would you want to see a team in New Orleans? Would you want to see another USFL team here back in the day like it was?
I sure would. The reason why I say that is what's going on right now in the springtime in New Orleans. There's nothing. Look, basketball, let me just say this. That's just couple days a week, you go watch it if you want to. It's not really caught on and grown here. People can say what they want. New Orleans basketball hasn't really gotten it. There's no more spring, you know, minor league baseball. The rugby, okay, but that's just part, you know, what it is. If you bring a good, solid football and good names, cities you're playing against, other good quality players, I can see it. Now, the question is, do I see it being played in the Dome? I can see City Park right now, because it's that crowd. Yet, till you start putting, you know, 80,000, 70,000. But if you get 25,000, 30,000, I'd start out at City Park. And if you have to go, hey, look, I would even play it at Tulane Stadium. Okay,
that's a perfect crowd, perfect
situation. I would do that. Yes, because I think the city of New Orleans and in the state of Louisiana and the southeastern area will get Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and Gulf Coast, because there's not anything going on in the springtime in New Orleans. Let's be honest. Might be hot. Who cares? I mean, you go out to the beach, it's hot. You play golf in the spring and summertime, it's hot. Go for it. I think it'd be a great idea to have a team in New Orleans.
It would be interesting to see Yeoman Stadium, like you're saying. I mean, it is a nice, comfy, confining, you know, the friendly confines, sort of like what Wrigley does. It's not bad seats. You don't have a ton of seats. You know, 10,000 there, 5,000 there. Does actually provide you some atmosphere there. You have artificial surface. You can play it whenever and everything. And, look, again, I don't know how much it will cost to, you know, run it, start it, practice, weigh all those different aspects that go into it. But, I mean, look, I know, especially when the Saints ran the Voodoo, man, there were a lot of people that loved going to those games in the arena. You know, I did color. I did sideline. It was fun. I enjoy that. So I'm with you. I think there could be a place for it. I think you could still watch your pals, go see that. That's something different. You have Zion. But then, to your point, whether it's Gormley, whether it's Yeoman, something small, something for football lovers to go check out and see while you wait for the Saints season, I think absolutely would work here. Probably better than minor league baseball.
Yo, there's no doubt about it. This is not a minor league baseball town. It could probably be, but I just don't see it. But a football town, you got, what, 12 games? Let's just pick a number. Let's say you got 12 games. Basically, six are at home, 6 weeks out of, I mean, 6 weekends out of the year. Mm-hmm. That's nothing if you want to make it, you know, 8 home games, whatever it may be. People will do that. People will go for it. And I can see it being big time here. In fact, Gus, if you got to bring the right people involved. You can't do this, you know, semi-pro style. You got to have some name players. You got to have some guys who are up and coming, who are trying to get in, who are young. You cannot come here with a football club with a 34-year-old guy who's been through 14 different teams and played 4 years in the league, who's trying to hang on at the last. No, he's not the guy that people want to watch. He's been around, you know. It's get the younger guys who are up and coming that people think have a shot, that if they want to go to the NFL after this, great. If not, if it's done well and the spring league's paying well and it's got money and it's not losing money, and they
get,
guys will say, screw the NFL. I'll just play in the spring in the USFL.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Let's wrap up here. Got 2.5 minutes here, John. You mentioned some of the names, and when you think back of all the different players that came from the USFL, man, the NFL can thank that league for developing a lot of those players. You know, you got a chance to go in there before you came in and play with the Saints to get some snaps, get some reps. I guess some of the players that stood out to you, man, that played in the USFL were who?
Oh, God, you mean like Herschel Walker. I remember in New Jersey had Herschel Walker and Doug Flutie when I was with the Giants for a short period of time before I left there and went to the USFL. I remember watching a game with Herschel. And look, remember him? Big Nickel State, Kansas City. He was up there. You look at Reggie White in Memphis when I was in Memphis with him. The running back, Brian, who played with Coach Mora, and the quarterback that played for Penn State who was with Jim Moore. I don't know the name. Bobby Hebert. Look, Bobby was in Michigan. He went to Oakland. Steve Young. I mean, you can go on and on and on and look at some of these guys, guys that played there, left there, and you say, you know what? The money's as good as would have been in the NFL, maybe a little better for them at that time. And that's where I thought the problem became. You got to cap it the right amount. If you want to go compete against the NFL, you can't give guys $14, $10 million for your league. You know, you got to cap it right. You got to do it right. And as it gets 3 or 4 years in the league and guys can make more money, great. But you're going to get some players, but I don't think you'll get players jumping over from the NFL, because the NFL is basically, you're starting out at almost $1 million if you're just a young rookie guy, close to me. I can't see the USFL doing that with the 40-something man roster and giving guys, you know, $500,000. You know, you got to cap it. Put it by position. You play quarterback, this is your cap. This is it. You play O-line, this is it. This is what you get. You don't like it, go try to play somewhere else. But I think you'll get that, and players will play it.
I'm with you. And like I said, I'm interested when I saw that it was coming back, which then immediately led to my brain going, well, be nice to – I'd like to see New Orleans get one again. Because, John, you and I talk about this all the time, and I know you're out of town. You're coming back next week. You're hanging out with Chase trying to get him to play some arena football. How nice would it be to not have to play arena football and play football for him and something like that? You have a lot of talent in the state. Not everybody goes immediately to the league. There's a way that you can showcase your skills, play legit football, and have it be covered by Fox Sports. I think you would see a lot of people really focus on that. And there's so much talent in this state, man. I think you could fill a roster rather easily just with kids that maybe didn't get drafted from all of the universities around town.
Well, it's just that in the state of Louisiana, you could take, you know, let's just say Arkansas. Let's just go from Arkansas, Memphis, Alabama, Mississippi. In that area, you could definitely field a good, solid football squad with players who haven't gotten a chance. And listen, it's not that they can't play. Some of them got, you know, issues because of the pandemic, and they never got looked at. They didn't get the pro days. So there's athletes still out there just can't go to the CFL. Chase cannot go to the CFL because they don't even know if they're going to play. That's why he's in arena ball right now. And if he was able to go to the CFL play last year or this year, he might be, you know, playing well right now. He doesn't have that opportunity. If the spring leagues and everything rolls out and it turns over to USFL in 2022, it'll be ideal for the Chases of the world and the guys who never got looked at because of the fact that the pandemic, the NFL wasn't going after non-playing guys from any experience-wise. This gives that group of, you know, 60, 70, 80 guys in the states I just mentioned an opportunity.
John Forkey, look forward to chatting with you again when you get back in town, sir.
All right, buddy. I'll be back next week. Talk to you soon, bud.
Yep, for sure.